Well, for the last couple of months, I've been excited to preach about John the Baptist because in the last couple of months in our lectionary, we heard the stories of Jesus' time in the temple in the last week of his life. And what I noticed week after week is the importance of John the Baptist. You know, when the chief priests came and asked him a question, he responded by asking them a question about whether John the Baptist was of God or whether he was just some wacky guy out on his own. When as the arguments kept going, I kept seeing sort of almost the ghost of John the Baptist looming over what had happened. When the Pharisees and the Herodians came to Jesus and they asked him about the coin, do you pay taxes or not? They were trying to trap him into saying that people shouldn't pay taxes so that the Herodians would have Jesus arrested so that Jesus could be killed like John the Baptist. That was the playbook, like that was the plan, that was the idea. And when it didn't work, then they had to resort to other means to get Jesus arrested and killed. And part of the reason I was excited about John the Baptist, of course, is because John the Baptist is one of the great shouty preachers in the history of the world. And I'd been shouty, I don't know if you know, the last couple of months, I've been quite shouty myself, and I was looking forward to a good excuse to be shouty. But I'm not going to talk about John the Baptist today anymore, well, not much more than I already have, because I don't feel shouty. I don't feel like yelling about sin or talking about repentance even or any of those things much. Mostly, I just feel sad. I woke up this morning with this, it's like the feeling had been building all week, and I woke up this morning and said, I don't have that sermon in me. So I had to come up with a new sermon, which was annoying because then my computer wouldn't start. So I had to just make it up in my head while I took a shower or whatever. But I think it's going to be okay. I think just the weight of 2020 and of all the things that have been going on has just gotten to me. And I need to hear a different word today. And I thought maybe you do too. Maybe you've heard enough shouty preaching for one fall. You know, the weight of this pandemic, the numbers still climbing, and the death tolls are going to go up and up and up. You know, the hospitals are full. And the reason the hospitals aren't totally full is because they're turning away people who should have been hospitalized even a couple of weeks ago, certainly a couple of months ago. So more people are sick at home instead of getting the care that they could have gotten even a month or two ago. You know, over the last couple of days, it just seems every little thing just seems like bad news. There's a story, the Green Bay Gazette in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The huge cover story today is about my friend Karen's husband Nate, who was sexually abused as a high school student at the Catholic high school there, and he went. He lived with this for years and he went public with his story and he accused the priest and he did all these things. And so he worked with this reporter for a couple of years to be able to tell his story and to get all this out. But then this spring, the weight became too much and he ended his own life in the spring. And so that's a story that's been going around among my friends and my people. I only met Nate a couple of times, but again, that's the main cover story in Green Bay, and there's going to be a big protest outside the mass at the church there, which is part of this high school this morning. And that's just, I mean, that's weighing on me heavily, you know? Even things like I tried to take comfort in basketball, the Minnesota Timberwolves, but Karl-Anthony Towns, their best player, you may have heard, his mother more famously died of COVID back in April. And he came out for his press conference the other night, and six more of his family members died of COVID, including an uncle that died just the night before his Friday press conference. So there again, I mean, Karl Towns, the Timberwolves, you know, best player. I just want to talk basketball. He's suffered more family loss of COVID than any other public figure that I'm aware of. And then you get into like the real news with everybody, the houselessness and the hunger and the joblessness and the suffering that is going on because of this pandemic and its economic fallout. There's just so much hurt and there's so much anger and there's so much fear and there's so much sadness. And so finally, we are lucky today that in the face of all this, we do get a scripture reading that I think addresses it as well as anywhere else in the scriptures. Our first reading from Isaiah 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received double from the Lord's hand all for all her sins. This Isaiah 40 is a really important reading in Isaiah and in all of the scriptures. The deal is, Isaiah, you may remember, is broken into different parts, and Isaiah 40 is the beginning of the second part. The first part was all about, you know, back in the day and what was going to happen. And this Isaiah 40 is after all the bad things have happened, when the Babylonian exile is already in place. But now, Cyrus the Persian has defeated the Babylonian Empire, and this is a new day when God is going to set the people free, when God calls on the prophet to declare that the people need comfort, and that God will provide that comfort, that all of God's promises will finally come true. And even, like it says, that the people have paid double for all their sins, even that God overdid it with these punishments, that the people suffered more than they deserved, more even than God should have done. Comfort is what God wants for God's people, who have suffered too much. And so we get this beautiful, powerful reading that I think is just what we need to hear amidst the everything of 2020 in this world. From our reading in Isaiah, we hear a voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley, every mountain, the uneven places and the rough places a plain." All of this very famous, powerful, poetic language that says that there will be a way through the wilderness, a way for God, even though it seems like it should be a way for the people to walk back from Babylon to Jerusalem. In fact, this is the way for God, that God is coming back to Jerusalem, that God will be there, that God will be with the people. "Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken," which means I confirm that this is true. "God will move heaven and earth in order to be with God's people." That is the promise. That is the comfort. And then it continues. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" All people are like grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers. I always think of this part as the prophet pushing back on God. God is trying to be comforting. God is trying to be merciful and gracious. And this is the prophet being like, "Wait a minute, God. The people are grass. They burn up like dry grass. They're nothing compared to you. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." God will be here forever with the people, no matter how long the people last. I think of this as the prophet saying, "The people are nothing, God. Why are you even caring about us this much?" And God says, "Hey, these are my people. I'm going to be there for my people in this time." And then these other instructions for the people: "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good things. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God." God calling on the people, on the city itself, on the entirety of the nation, to stand up and proclaim the good news that God is here among the people. That God is here with the people, that they will be safe after so much suffering, that their tears will be wiped away. This is part of our job, is to tell the good news of what God has done for us. Do not fear. God is here among us. And then it goes on, our Isaiah reading. "See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense is before him." Whenever we get to this part of the reading, I've read it enough times this week that I stopped getting scared. But normally when we read to this part, I get scared because I feel like it's going to get into God is a mighty warrior, and God is going to smite the enemies, and their blood will soak the ground, and God will be victorious. And this whole like sort of creepy militaristic thing that we get into sometimes in the scriptures. But that's not where this goes at all. It says God is strong and there's this reward and this recompense. But the reward is an actual reward for the people. It's not just punishment. And the recompense is God coming back to the people in this new way. Because then it turns. It turns from that part about the power of God that I think is going to get all militaristic. It turns back to this. It says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. And that's where our reading ends today. Just when I think it's going to get all like violent and scary, God becomes a shepherd, gently cradling the lambs who need God, gently leading the mother sheep. I think of this as God being mothering, a big, strong warrior who could nonetheless offer the comfort of a mother to a scared child. That's who God is. That's the relationship that God wants to have for us. God will comfort us. God will be there for us. This is what God's love means for us. This is why I think God came as a baby. That's what we're getting ready for, right? Christmas is coming. Jesus born as a baby, perfectly vulnerable, not powerful or strong at all. But Jesus, born as a baby in the middle of nowhere to parents nobody's ever heard of, not strong and powerful in a palace or protected, but vulnerable and common and just regular. God comes in the most unexpected way to reveal the tenderness with which God views our relationship. That God wants that kind of tenderness, that kind of vulnerability, that kind of closeness that Jesus has with his own mother and that we can have with God. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to be comforted. That's God's promise to us. That no matter how much suffering, how much loss, how much uncertainty, how much fear we go through, that God will be there for us. That none of those things can separate us from God's love. That none of those things will have the last word in our lives. Our story is not over. The stories of our family members suffering with COVID are not over. Even in death, the stories are not done. God still has more for them. More love, more life. Beyond this life, beyond this world, beyond reach of any suffering that we've experienced. This is the good news that God has confirmed for us in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. No matter how bad it gets, God will be there in the end, with us, for us, protecting us, carrying us, walking alongside us, providing for us, because God loves us. Just as God loved the people who had been exiled in Babylon, just as God loved the people who were suffering under the Roman rule and Herod and everything else that was going on when Jesus was born. God is here for us. This pandemic and this whatever in the world is going on with our political situation right now. Thought the election might make me feel better. That didn't work out. Whatever is happening, right? Whatever is happening, this is not ultimately our story. Ultimately, our story is a story of a God who loves us so much that we don't have to worry about these things. And it's a story about a God who loves us so much that God sets us free not to worry about these things, but to worry about one another, to care for one another in these times. The comfort that God has for us, we can offer to one another in our days of strength, in our times of when we are flourishing, we know that so many around us are not, and we can reach out to them. And when we need help, when we're the ones that need help, we can ask for that help. We can be vulnerable in the way that God was vulnerable, born in Jesus, in the way that God recognizes that the people were vulnerable when God cradled them like gentle lambs. Finally, we'll get back to John the Baptist just for a moment. Because really, the lesson we get in our gospel lesson today about John the Baptist is not one of John being shouty and yelling about repentance. Basically, John just says, hey, look, God is sending someone stronger than me. I promise that God is sending the person who will make this right. God is sending him. You can be sure of God's promise that Jesus is on his way. And ultimately, that too is a promise of hope for today. Amen.